Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, New York City comptroller and likely mayoral hopeful John Liu is on a tear of making new proposals lately. He's called for a big minimum wage increase from $7.25 to $11.50 an hour, an end to city subsidies for large corporations, free CUNY tuition for the highest performing high school students, a settlement in the so-called Central Park 5 lawsuit against the city, and a new dress code for the NYPD to allow Sikhs to wear turbans on the job. He also rejected Mayor Bloomberg's Taxi of Tomorrow contract, alleging that the Nissan minivans violate the Americans with Disabilities Act. And he stood with UFT President Michael Mulgrew to announce a teacher's pension fund investment in post-Sandy reconstruction projects. Let's talk to Controller Liu about some of these things. Happy New Year, Controller. Welcome back to WNYC.
I can't believe it. 2013 is here.
It's
I'm
here.
Excited.
It's going to be an exciting year for people in city government, no doubt. And
I think it'll be an exciting year for a lot of different reasons for people all over New York City.
Let's talk policy and jump right in. That would be a big increase in the minimum wage, $7.25 to $11.50 an hour. That's an extra $170 per 40-hour week. When jobs are in short supply already, would that push more low-wage jobs out of the city or just mean fewer people hired at the higher rate?
We don't think so. We don't think that it'll have any significant long-term impact on jobs in the city or on the businesses themselves. Let's just be clear. Minimum wage has certainly not kept pace with inflation. If it had, it would be something like 10.58 on the national level. Here in New York City, the reality is that we've got the highest cost of living adjustment, and when you adjust for that high cost of living, it's more like $4 an hour. But even just at the $7.25 an hour, which is what it is now, that's $15,000 a year. And we have to understand that it is not teenagers working part-time who are making the minimum wage. We're talking mostly about breadwinners who have kids to support. And by the mayor's own reports, the mayor's folks say through their reports that the poverty level in New York City is $21,000 a year for families, for a parent with one child, $24,000 for a parent with two children to support. So what we're doing is proposing a minimum wage that actually helps take these families out of the poverty level. I don't think it's logical to have a government-mandated minimum wage that doesn't even allow a breadwinner to take his or her family out of the poverty level.
Besides the fairness case, can you make a fiscal case that if you have a full-time worker under the poverty line, that it actually costs the taxpayers money because the taxpayers are subsidizing the private employers with food stamps and other benefits that a full-time worker below the poverty line would be eligible for?
Absolutely. And that's well documented, that many of these workers don't make enough to support themselves, and so government and taxpayers have to step in and assist and support them. And not only that, but the people who are making the low end of the wage scale, they generally are spending all of their income in the local area. And so there are lots of multiplier effects that would come about by having a minimum wage that actually allows somebody to support his or her family.
I want to go on to some of your other issues, but briefly, how about a teenage wage then or something like that for people who aren't family-supporting breadwinners if you're going to raise the minimum wage by that much?
I think for a long time, the minimum wage has been universal. So if there was some way to distinguish between the type of wage earner, maybe that's a possibility. But obviously, we're looking for the people who are making minimum wage and still have kids to support, and we wind up supporting them.
All right. An end to city subsidies for large corporations, you've proposed. Don't we have to compete with other cities and states which are offering tax breaks to locate or relocate businesses?
Well, that's been, I guess, the somewhat conventional wisdom for a long time. There was a great in-depth piece in the Times about a month and a half ago that talked about how states and cities were often competing with each other, and the end result of that was not really the creation of any jobs or the retention of jobs overall, but just kind of, you know, we're kind of killing ourselves here. I think that the thought that people would leave New York City is untested. And we have to come to grips with the fact that small businesses in New York City are actually the true job growth engines. The mayor and most elected officials in the city, myself included, assert that the majority of New Yorkers work for small businesses, not the big corporations. I've got nothing against the big corporations, but my proposal simply asks them to pay their fair share. For example, why would insurance companies be exempt from the general corporation tax? I've got nothing against insurance companies. My career started out in an insurance company. But if everybody else is paying the general corporation tax, why would they have an exemption that's costing us $300 million a year?
But on the competition for tax subsidies, why not say you'll be smarter in judging which companies are really serious about taking their jobs elsewhere and which ones are just trying to hold the city up, rather than make an inflexible policy?
Well, we have had too much flexibility in the policy, to the extent that through my auditing process, we have looked at the subsidies that this city has granted major developers and private companies over the last few years, and we have found that a majority of those cases didn't produce the jobs that were promised. And so we're paying hundreds of millions of dollars of subsidies to these large entities that wind up not creating the jobs that were promised. Meanwhile, we're saying that small businesses are really the job growth engines. So why not, and this is part of my proposal, why not give some kind of break to the small businesses so maybe they can hire more people from the local neighborhoods and people who actually live in New York City? So in exchange for the insurance companies paying the general corporation tax, which would start to bring in $300 million a year, I propose that small businesses that have a tax liability of less than $5,000 be exempt from that. And that would only cost $200 million a year. But that would really encourage and spur 85% of those small businesses that today are subject to that general corporation tax.
My guest, New York City Comptroller John Liu, with a raft of recent proposals on the table for city policy. Another is free CUNY tuition for the highest performing high school students. Who would qualify?
We're looking at giving the free CUNY tuition to the top 10% of the high school graduates from the New York City public high schools. We think it makes sense. The fiscal impact is not that significant, and we're, you know, that depends on a lot of factors, but it would give a leg up to the families who really can't afford to send their kids, especially their brightest kids, to college. This is part of an ongoing analysis that my office has been conducting, where we see the city, New York City, falling short on the competitive scale with regard to the percentage of our population that hold college degrees. We're falling behind many other major American cities, let alone international cities. I think everybody realizes that a college degree is necessary to be able to be competitive in today's economic world. And we need to raise our college degree, the percentage of our population who hold college degrees, from the current 42% to 60% by the year 2025 to remain competitive with other American cities.
But if your goal is to help the working poor, if you're going to charge the taxpayers more to further subsidize CUNY students, why do it on performance and not based on some formula of performance and need? Because some of those highest 10% performing students might be your kids or my kids, and we don't need the money.
Well, that's true that some of those kids would wind up going to other schools as well. But there are programs for those who cannot afford tuition, and it's going to be based on economic need. What we're saying through this proposal is that, look, there are a lot of bright kids who by every measure should be in college. And if it's just because they don't have the money to do so, let's just give them the free CUNY tuition. It helps them but it's a great investment in our city as well.
All right, continue.
And that's not the only way that I think that we would increase the proportion of New York City residents with college degrees. I've also called for a significant increase in the number of guidance counselors in the city. Right now, each guidance counselor has an average caseload of 259 high school kids. That no one can be effective with that large a caseload. We've looked at schools that have been very effective in not only getting their high school graduates to college, but actually ensuring that they actually wind up with a college degree a few years down the road. The guidance counselors there have caseloads of more like 100 students per counselor.
Yeah, and we know that dropping out is a big problem among kids who come from underprivileged backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Continuing down the list, last week you proposed that the city settle the lawsuit against the city by the Central Park Five, the defendants convicted in the 1989 Central Park jogger attack. They were later exonerated. The case is in the news again, as many people may have seen because of the new Ken Burns documentary about it. But why get involved in the lawsuit?
This is a lawsuit that has been going on for about 10 years now. And it's been more than 10 years since these five then kids were exonerated. This is a matter that is continuing to cost taxpayers more and more money. The legal bills are building up, and yet there seems to be no resolution in sight on this case. What I've called for as city controller, having an eye towards the impact, the fiscal impact on the city, is for all the sides to sit down and start negotiating a settlement. There's been no movement, as far as I can tell, in the extreme positions. I've offered my office, both my legal staff and people who are experts in the settlement of these cases, to my boardroom, and they can use the table and be here round the clock.
The city
hammer out a negotiation.
The City Corporation Council was quoted saying he already would settle the case, but it would be irresponsible for the city to back down on the number, because the historic average for wrongful imprisonment suits is $100,000 a year. So the amount of this suit is way high. And as controller protecting the city's finances, you should not want to set a much higher precedent than that.
Well, it's a little troubling to hear the Corp Counsel say that, number one, the outcome of a civil rights lawsuit just doesn't depend whatsoever on the fiscal state of the city. The city's finances. Number two, the longer the case drags out, the more the legal bills pile up for taxpayers to foot the bill of. And their position, as far as I could tell, is that the settlement amount should be an absolute zero, that there is no liability. Well, it's been 10 years. There doesn't seem to be any movement. When I first took office as city controller, I took a hands-off approach, thinking that the law department and the plaintiffs were trying to work out a settlement. And year after year, I've been asking what's going on and what's happening, because these kids spent a lot of time, a collective 30-plus years in jail for something they didn't do. So there's got to be some kind of settlement here. So what I'm saying is let's make some progress on this. But for 10 years to have lapsed and with no end in sight, this is not good for the five kids or adults now, and it's not good for the city. We need to begin the healing process and bring closure to this.
Let me get one more thing in here as we begin to run out of time with New York City Controller and likely mayoral hopeful John Liu. A story in the news today, the possible New York City school bus driver strike. The city, as you know, is taking bids from bus companies, but the drivers union insists on job security provisions, no matter who the contractor is, that would run past this June when the current contracts expire. As the city budget watchdog, whose side are you on here?
Well, I'm on the side of keeping the employee protection provisions in the contract. This is something that there is legal precedent for this, and there's a disagreement on whether this is continuing to be legally required. This is going to be a big issue, but beyond the legal requirements of whether the EPPs must remain in the contract, I think we have seen this city, or in particular this administration and the Department of Education, shall we say, botch a lot of the school bus changes. We saw this a few years ago when, in the middle of the winter, on the coldest day of the year, they decided to change all the routes based on a consultant's recommendations. That didn't work very well, and it wound up costing taxpayers a lot of money. This time, the city is just not recognizing the fact that the transport of children, and in this case, children with special needs with regard to their education, that they need to have drivers that know the routes, that know the kids, that know the situations that can come up during the transport of these children. So I do believe that not only are the employee protection provisions necessary, but that the city should recognize the experience that school bus drivers already have.
So taking everything we've talked about together, and I appreciate you going through so many issues, and you've been on this tear, as I put it, of new proposals
Brian,
recently. Tell me if you disagree.
I'm proud of the proposals that,
yes,
that my office has continued to put out on a continuous basis.
So my question is, should we hear all these as the proposals of a likely mayoral candidate looking to forge a labor minority working poor coalition? And do you have anything you'd like to announce on the show today?
I'm going to continue to study the issues that affect New Yorkers, particularly on the fiscal front, as controller. But, of course, this is a big election year, and I will be making announcements about my plans in the near future. And I'm excited about the opportunities for myself, for my family, and for all New Yorkers as we head into an election year that will, I think, herald the change, a big change in New York City.
I appreciate it, and I look forward to continuing our discussions. Controller John Liu, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll check in on the situation in India after that horrible rape and murder, and why, since it's hardly the first rape and murder in India or in the world, why it's causing such a big response right now. And we'll take calls from people with ties to India as to what this represents as a watershed in that country. 212-433-WNYC.